Greetings and welcome back to another an ongoing series of Shurban Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, at the third Mishnah of the second Perek. The first two Mishnah were grouped together, and we are continuing now with the issue of the laws of a king. We will look at Mishnah Gimel and at the first part of Mishnah Dalin in this podcast, which will take us to Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. And this Mishnah parallels the end of Mishnah Aleph in its dealing with a Kohen Gadol. Meit lo meit, if a melech has one of his relatives die, eino yotzei petach paltarin shelo, does not leave the door of his palace to follow the beer. Rabbi Yehuda omer, im rotzeh letzeit achar mita yotzei. Rabbi Yehuda says he can if he wants to. Rabbi Yehuda, remember in the previous Mishnah, also allowed the king to do chalitza or to do yibum in order to forego his kavod for a mitzvah. But in this case, he brings a proof from David, who followed Avner's bier at the funeral when Avner was killed by Yoav after Avner had come to make a peace treaty with David. Amrullah was the response to Rabbi Yehuda. He didn't do it because of the mitzvah of Leviat HaMeit, which evidently the king is either pater from or it's trumped by the Somta Simalacha, but rather he had a side consideration, which was that he had to appease the people. The people thought that David had engineered the assassination of Avner, and he had to put that to rest and let them know that he had nothing to do with it. When a king gets the Sudat Havra'ah, when he is mourning, his first meal, everybody is sitting on the ground. He is sitting on a dargesh, and we will spend half of this piece discussing what that is. But it's some sort of a fancy chair. Okay, the Tana Rabbanan. Makom shenagun nashim latzeit achar mita yotzot, lefnei mita yotzot. We have the Tana Kama saying in this Braita that if the minig is in the local place that women follow the beer, that's the minig. If they go in front of the beer, that's the minig. Those are both valid minhagim. He says, no, women always go in front of the beer. How do I know? Because we find that David, in the Pasuk we already saw, followed Avner's beer, and the assumption is David's not going to be hanging out with the women. Amrulo, the answer to him was, the whole reason David went out was to make everybody comfortable that he really was mourning. Venit paisu, and it worked. Why? Shaya David yotzei mi ben ha'anashim nechnas leven ha'anashim, yotzei ben ha'anashim nechnas leven ha'anashim. He went from the men into the women, so his being in back doesn't prove that the women are in front. The women might have been in back. Shaya mar v'yidu kol amcho Yisrael, ki lo haitam yamelech l'mitat Avner. Everybody knew that David was not behind the plot to kill Avner. David mourned, and David refused to eat, a whole long thing. Darsh Rava. Now Rava darshins on this passage. Mai dichtiv evo kol am lavrot at David. Evidently, in Rava's version of Sefer Shmuel, he had a ktiv that was lahachrot, but we read it lahavrot. Ours is just lahavrot. Bitchila lahachroto. First, they wanted to kill him. In other words, they were angry at him because they thought he was behind the killing. After they realized what happened, then they really wanted to make him feel better and feed him the food. So why was Avner punished that he should be killed as a young man? Avner was Shaul's cousin and his chief of staff, should have protested against Shaul's massacre of the city of Nov, Ir HaKohanim. Yitzchak disagrees and says, Avner was a good guy. He did protest. And Shaul didn't respond. In other words, he was a good guy. They both darshan the same pasuk, which is about Kinat HaMelech David al Avner, David's dirge for Avner. Will Avner die like a lowlife? He's assassinated like this. Your hands were not tied. Your legs were not in chains. So Manda Marlomicha, according to the position that says he didn't protest and he was a bad guy. Hachikamar, that's what David said. Your hands were not held like that. In other words, my time Malomachita. In other words, he's saying, you should have protested. And you didn't. In other words, you weren't tied down. As you weren't tied down means you had the ability to protest. You didn't. So that's an allusion to the reason. You fell like somebody who falls before lowlifes. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak, who says he did protest and wasn't answered, David is wondering. So he's saying, how could it be that you would die like this? And David says, since you protested, my time I could fall with Nafalta. Since you protested, you didn't have your hands tied. You spoke up. That's the way we're interpreting it. Therefore, why did you die like this? It's unbelievable. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, who says he protested, why was he punished to die? Because after Shaul died, and Avner was the one who propped up Ishbosheth, or Eshbal, who was Shaul's son, to be the king, he kept Machut Beit David from really taking hold for 2.5 years. Okay, that's why he was punished. Now, we get to the issue of the Dargesh. My Dargesh, Amar Ula Arsa Degada, literally a good luck bed, which means it's a bed that they keep there, nobody sits on, and it's there for good luck. So they said, wait, I don't understand. When an Avel is supposed to sit on something he never otherwise sits on, that's where he's sitting during the Hasudat Tavra'ah. Matkifla Rava, so Rava says, my Kusha. It's the same thing as eating. We didn't feed him and eat and have him drink. We do something new now. Now we give him to drink and we give him to eat. An Avel, same thing. Maybe he sits on a bed. He never sits on otherwise. That's not weird. The problem of interpreting Dargesh as this good luck bed is Dargesh enot sarich lichpoto. We have a halacha of kfiyat hamita, which Tosfot already points out they stopped practicing in the 12th century or earlier. But a Dargesh does not need to be turned over. The custom was kfiyat hamita. All the beds in the house, sugin mo'en katan, we studied bismano, have to be turned over. A Dargesh does not have to be turned over. Ela zokfo, rather you stand it up on its side. Salka daitach arsa de gada, but if you think it's an arsa de gada, mayno tzorich lichpoto, why didn't you have to turn it over? Vatanya kofet mitato lo mitato bevaru kofet ala kol tamayitot sheyesh poto kotel kofet. The halacha kfiyat hamita is not just the one you sit on, but all the beds have to be turned around. It's a sign of mourning. Have to be turned upside down. So why isn't the Dargesh have to be turned around? So my kusha dema midi dehave amita miyuchedet lekelim. Just like we have a bed that nobody sits on, it's there just to put kelim on. Diktani imaita miyuchedet lekelim and it's tzrich lichpota. In other words, the same thing. If this thing is an arsa degada, which nobody ever sits on, it's for good luck. You don't have to turn it over. Just like a mita that's set up for kelim, you don't have to turn over because it's not used for a bed. Elai kasha hakasha. This is the problem. Shem gam liel omer dargesh matir karvitin v'unofel me'elav. What do you with dargesh? You let the ropes that hold up the hammock part underneath it, just let them go, and the whole thing collapses. Sakadaitach arsa degada karvitin me'idlai. And arsa degada doesn't have those things. It's a real structure. It's not like a hammock. So how can Shem gamliel say that's what you do with a dargesh if a dargesh is an arsa degada? Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael and he said, you know, Amarli Ha'umar Rabbanu Rav Tachlifa Ishmael, a certain Rav Tachlifa, one of the students told me, Tavishchiach Beshuka de Gildoi, he was in the shuk of the leather workers, Amarle, my Dargesh, and he said, what's a Dargesh? Arsad et Sala. Right? So now it's what kind of a particular kind of bed, which is a bed made from a pelt. So it's not an arsa de God, it's one that's normally slept on. I'm Rabbi Yirmiya, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Dargesh, Serugo mitocho. There's different opinions about what this means, but when you loop the ropes around to the frame, you loop them inside through the frame, mita serugo mi'agaba, but with a normal bed, it goes around the frame, as opposed to having holes in the frame. Kli eitz, now, meitavi, watch this. Kli eitz, ve'matami kalin tuma, when does a kli eitz, which of course has to be makabel. It can't be pasha kliates, it's not makabel tuma. But a kliates, when is it liable for tuma? Hamitava harisa, a bed or a crib, mishi shufem or hadag, when you polish them with the fish skin, which they used to use. Vimitama surega, but if you say that a bed has the rope go around the frame, yagaba, lamali shifat or hadag, what's the point of polishing it with the or hadag? The rope's going to go over it. Both a dargesh and a mita have the rope go through the holes. Mita aule vafuke bevizioni. With a bed, you raise it and lower it with these kind of levers or ropes. Dargesh aule vafuke bavkata. But a dargesh is lifted with loops that are hanging there, and you stick the ropes in, or the straps in, and you pull, and that's how you get it to be. So Dargesh is like a mitah, just slightly different. By the way, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. who said that you just let the ropes go, and that's what happens for kfiyat hamita. If you have a bed that has the poles that hold it up, and there's no way to turn it over, you can't turn it upside down, all you have to do is stand it up, and that's all you need for kfiyat hamita. Okay, the next piece is the beginning of Mishnah Dalet. Now, just as we saw in the first parak, we're going to ask why we have to repeat it. The king can take the people out to war based on the permission of the Beit Din of 71. And he can break through his eminent domain to make a road for the war. We can stop him. And by the way, he can make it as wide as he needs. The soldiers all take spoils and give to him. We'll see how much. And he gets the first part. Okay. We already saw that Mechamet Harshut needs 71. We saw that in the first parak. So why is it here? Because here we're mentioning all of the laws of a melech. They mention this again. Amar Yudam Shmuel. This piece now is critical to understanding the nature of mitzvah hamelech. Kol ha'amur parshat melech, melech mutar bo. Anything that it says in parshat, what's parshat hamelech? They have to look at Shmuel Aleph Perak Chet, where Shmuel warns the people what's going to happen when a king, when you have a king, what you guys want, and he's going to take your sons and make them work, and then his army, and he's going to take your daughters and turn them into perfumers and bakers, and he's going to take your fields, and he's going to take your produce, and he's going to take your slaves, and he's going to take your animals. He's going to take everything. Question is, how do we interpret that passage? So Shmuel says, "Kol ha'amur b'sparshat ha'melech, melech mutarbo." Really, the king's allowed to do any of that stuff. Rav Amar, no, Lonemar Parshazu Elayim Yalem. It was only said to frighten them as a deterrent, to try to get them to say we don't want a king. That was Shmuel's whole point. Shinamar Somtasim Alecha Melech, Shtei Mato Alecha. When you appoint a king, you have to fear him. So in other words, you have to fear that he could do all this stuff, but really he's not allowed to. Ketanoi, and this machloket Rav and Shmuel echoes a earlier machloket of Tanoim. Rabbi Yosi Amar Kol Amar Parshat Melech, Melech Butarbo. If you don't mar, Lonemar Parshazu Elayim Yalem, Shinamar Somtasim Alecha Melech, same thing, Shtei Mato Alecha. Yehuda added to that. Shalosh mitzvot instavu yisro b'chzatam ha'aretz. We were given three mitzvot when we entered the land. Lamid la'melech, to make a king. Achritz aro shalolek, to wipe out Amalek. Livnot lahem beit ha'bechira, and to build the beit ha'mikdash. Rabbeinu Rai Omer, he says, no, lo nemar parshazu ela keneged tarumatam. The only reason the Torah said, appoint the king, is because people were complaining, or going to complain. Shemar ve'amarta asim alai melech, if you say I want a king, then here's what you do. Meaning Rabbeinu Rai says, like the Bravenel later says, there is no mitzvah for appointing a king, it's just a concession in case the people ask. Tanya Eliezer Omer is a kenim shabador kohagin shalu. He makes kind of splits it. He says, in Shmuel's generation, when they demanded of Shmuel a king, the elders asked appropriately, Shinamar, Tanalanu melech shavtenu, give us a king who will lead us. But the common folk messed up. Shinamar, v'ayiru gamarachlu kachol agoyim shvatanu malkenu. We want to be like all the other nations, that our king should lead us and take us out to war. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, and if you're interested, listen to my podcast series on the OU.org and Sefer Shmuel in Perak Chet to see a development of a greater understanding of what this whole issue is. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shalosh mitzvot nitztavu Yisrael b'chinsatan la'aretz. So Rabbi Yossi says what Rabbi Yehuda said. But he adds one thing. Same three. I don't know what the sequence is. Shu'omer, when Moshe says, after the war with Amalek, I'm raising my hand on the throne of Hashem. There's going to be a war for again of Hashem against Amalek. King must be first. Why? Because Kesia is Kisei. And that's a throne, and a throne is a king. Shinemar, v'yashav shlo v'yeshu shlomo al kisei Adonai l'melech. V'adayin eni yodea, im livnot lahem beit ha'bechira t'chila, o lachriz aron shom la'ik t'chila. But I now don't know whether which is two and which is three. Do I build the Beit HaMikdash first, or destroy Amalek first? Kshu omer, v'niach lachem mikol v'echem, v'yam akom ha'sheiv chara Adonai, in Parshat Rei, Hashem says, when Hashem gives you respite from all your enemies, then you come to the place that Hashem chooses, that's the Beit HaMikdash. So you have to wipe out Amalek, some of your enemies, and then when they're wiped out, then you build it. Etc. In other words, when did David turn and say to Natan, I'd like to build the Beit HaMikdash? Only after he had respite from his enemies. Look at what happened to Shlomo. Shlomo originally ruled over even the higher world. Shinemar, v'yashivesher Shlomo al kisei Adonai, sat on Hashem's throne, as it were. Sof malach ha-tachtonim. In the end, he only ruled over this world. Shinemar, kihu rodevachol evron ha-harmi tifsach v'yarazah. All right, so he had a widespread. Ravu Shmuel Charma Tifsach B'Sof Olam Az B'Sof Olam. This is similar to Machloket about Hodu and Kush. The Tifsach and Azar are on two sides of the world. V'Charma Tifsach V'Azar V'Hadi Adani Habu Yatvi. They were really next to each other. U'Keshen Shemalach Tifsach V'Alazar Ken Malach Kol Olam Kulo. In other words, both Rav and Shmuel agree that Shlomo ruled over the whole world or a large part of the world. Question is whether Tifsach and Azar are the boundaries or just examples. But then it got less. He only ruled over Yisrael. Shinemar, Ani Kohelet, who Chazal understand to be Shlomo in one version. Hayiti Melech al Yisrael. I was the king over Yisrael. Then, Shinemar, but he called Ben David, Melech Yerushalayim. He's a king in Yerushalayim. Doesn't say over whom. Sofla Melech al Amitato. Then he only ruled over his own bed. Shinemar, Hinei Mitato Shli Shlomo, Shishim Gibuim Savivla. He's got warriors around his bed. Sofla Melech el al Maklo. He only ruled over his own stick. This is all I have from all my work. One thing. So Rav Shmuel Charamar Maklo. This, by the way, this Gemara seems to be taking a negative view of monarchy and seeing how Shlomo, who started out so gloriously, ended up with hardly anything. So Rav Shmuel Charamar Maklo, v'Charamar Gundo. So we have a machloket about what was the Chalkim Mikol Amali. One of them says it was his stick. Right, and the other one is his shirt, his garment, his talit. Now, and the question is, hadar or lo hadar? Did he ever get back to his kingdom? After all, he had was his shirt on his back or his stick. His stick relates to a sugya in Gittin in the seventh parak with Ashmedai. Rav and Shmuel, chadamar hadar, v'chadamar lo hadar. Again, Rav and Shmuel, we don't know who said what. One says he was restored to his glory. One said he wasn't. And this is also the sugya in Gittin. Madamar lo hadar melech v'hedyot. That means Shlomo was first a king and then a citizen. In this whole rabbinic tradition about Ashmedai, there's a machloket about how it ended up, that he was he restored or not. Okay, Pored Salasot Lo Derech. The Mishnah said that the king can make a way for himself. Tan Rabbanan. Otsrot, this is now about the spoils. Otsrot Malachim LaMelech. Anything that the people, that the army captures that belongs to the other kings goes to our king. Ushar Bizah Shabozim, but everything else is Mechtsal LaMelech, Mechtsal LaAm. They split it half and half. I understand why the king who has been vanquished, his treasures go to our king. Or it makes sense. And where do we get that from? So he answered, whoever it was, Rav Dimi, Rav Acha, answered, it says that in Devar Yamim that they anointed Shlomo to Hashem as a leader, Ulatzadok HaKohen. And really, they anointed Shlomo and Tzadok in place of Aviatar. Makishna give the Tzadok, so they're comparing the king to the Kohen. Ma Tzadok mechzalo mechzalo achav, just like the Kohen. Splits evenly, he gets half, and the rest of the Kohen get half. We're talking about Lechem Aponim, as we'll see in a minute. Afnagi mechzalo mechzalo achav, same thing with the king. Tzadok gufim minal, and how do we know that a Kohen splits half and half? The Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Vahital, Aaron and Levanav. This is Lechem Lechem Aponim. It goes to Aaron and his sons. Mechzalo Aaron, mechzalo Levanav. Half goes to Aaron, half goes to his sons. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We'll pick it up with the rest of Mishnah Dalet and go into the very tricky issue of the limit of the king, of how many wives he may have. In the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.